Gospel of John, chapter 14. Over the last few weeks, I've been talking about the mystery of life, the mystery of death, the mystery of heaven, the mystery of hell. Several others topics we've been dealing with. Today I'm going to talk about the mystery of the Holy Spirit. And after today, we have one other message that we'll be dealing with on the mystery of salvation. But today, the mystery of the Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit's a person? Amen? In John chapter 14, look down at verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's a name of the Holy Spirit. Comforter. This week I've seen the Holy Spirit work at a funeral. He's a comforter. Anytime at a funeral, you'll see people bless by the comforter when they're grieving. Even the Spirit of truth, Brother Chavis, the Spirit of truth. We were talking about that earlier this morning. Whom the world cannot receive, because it knoweth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. This was before Pentecost. Jesus was saying the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to come live in believers. Now Pentecost has came and gone, and now ever believer, ever saved person, the Holy Spirit is in them. You a believer in Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? The Holy Spirit's living in you. You are a temple now. We consider this place sacred to us because it's dedicated for the worship of God and instruction in the Word of God. But we individually, believers, are the true temple of God. We need to be mindful of that. That means you mind what you think, what you say, what you do, because we're representing Christ. And I've heard tell many times of people in the church driving people away from church by the way they live. I've heard that all my life. I've known about it. We're the temple. We got to act Christ-like. Talking to the preacher, amen? Talking to the preacher. And I will pray the Father, he'll give you another comfort that he might abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus himself said that. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Savior. Thank you for the cross, where you dealt with the sin of the world, that whoever would believe in your Son as their personal Savior, you'd forgive them of all their sin, and you would clothe us in the righteousness of Christ and make us acceptable in your sight for eternity. Lord, it's called the grace of God that would save sinners. Thank you. Help me to stand before your people today. Share your word. Challenge, encourage, accomplish your will, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity. There is a Trinity, a Holy Trinity, made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, just as much as Jesus, just as much as God. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen? The Holy Spirit is seen in the second verse of Genesis chapter 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, Genesis 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit we see is at work in the very beginning. Dr. R.A. Torrey has listed that in the Bible there's 33 different names for the Holy Spirit. The scriptures say there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we've seen them in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 11 verses 1 and 2 talks about those seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that verse, and Christ had all of these gifts. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Seven gifts of the Spirit were manifest in Jesus Christ. If you remember anything about the New Testament and Jesus Christ and his ministry, Jesus Christ went about his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't magnify himself. He's not trying to get attention. He magnifies Christ. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to exalt Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. And the Holy Spirit is exalting him and not pointing to himself. In John 16, 13 and 14, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Get that? But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit worked with those early apostles after he had came down on the day of Pentecost, and he showed and reminded those apostles of what Jesus had taught and showed them about things to come. And a good example of that's the book of Revelation, for example. Many years, some 60 years later, the Holy Spirit would show John, the apostle, on the Isle of Patmos, the book of Revelation. Isn't that amazing? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He shall glorify me. Listen to this. He shall glorify me, for he shall speak of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? You know what? Today we have churches and denominations that emphasize the Holy Spirit seemingly more than Jesus Christ. You see it in many churches today, the Holy Spirit so prominent. But the Holy Spirit is supposed to magnify Jesus Christ, exalt him, glorify him, and not point to himself. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to give the new birth. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't even be born again. Isn't that something? That's how important his work is. John 3, you remember that scripture, John 3, 5 through 7, Jesus said to this teacher, Nicodemus, I say unto you, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The water, the Word of God, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved without hearing the gospel, folks. And then the Holy Spirit has to convict and draw you to Christ. And then the Holy Spirit has to do the work of regeneration. That is, making you alive unto God. Amen? Praise the Lord. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, I said to you, you must be born again. John 3:5-7. We were once born into this world. We have a fleshly body. We're a fleshly person. We're dead in sin, separated from God, but the Holy Spirit can make us a new person. A new person. We're no longer the same condemned sinner. Folks, this is so amazing. This is so amazing. When you get saved before God, you're a different person. And you remember that song Brother Junior sings a lot? The old man is dead. Describing an old life, getting saved, and he's a new person. That's what all of us are to manifest. I've been saved by the grace of God and made a new person. Now I can serve God and please God, enjoy God, one day go live with God. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you should have this verse marked. Therefore, if any man or any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's what the Bible says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All your past sins, when you get saved, is forgotten about. They're washed out. Even God Almighty don't remember them. Boy, now that's a bold statement to make, but it's what the Bible says. Our old life is forgot about. We're a new person. We're no longer condemned. We're now children of God. 1 Peter 2:7-8. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. We were born into this world with a corrupt seed. It was the seed of a sinner. Amen? But of incorruptible. We've been born of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know one thing that just delights me so much? Now that I've been born again, I can't get unborn. I have eternal life, and I can't lose it. Amen? Oh, the people that need to hear the truth sometime about what the Word of God has to say. If a person is born again, they should manifest it by the way they live. Be at church on time. Learn to tithe. Support the Lord's work faithfully. Live a life concerned for other people. Oh, we could go on. The Bible says if a man is born again, they should manifest it by the way they live. And we are all, everyone that's saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit himself. We're talking about the mystery of the Holy Spirit. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, the first thing that happened, the Holy Spirit not only made you a new person, at the same time, he sealed you. Let me tell you something. Are you listening? He is the seal. He didn't just stamp you. He is that seal. Amen? Do you think the devil can get you now? No. Now, the devil can aggravate us, but he can't get you. You belong to the Lord. You got the seal of the Spirit of God. And the Bible says we are being kept by the power of God. There ain't no devil going to get by God's power. Amen. Amen. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit, a born-again person is not dealt with as sinners by God, but as a child of God. Be sure you get this. You are a child of God, and God loves you. God loves you. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for every life. He's got a plan for that little fella, and he don't know it. But if somebody don't teach him about God and let him know that God has a plan, he'll miss it. Right? Yeah. I'm glad that God is so great, so good, so loving. Nobody is here without a purpose. God's got a plan for every life. And you know what? Every one of them is important. Whatever plan it is, it's important. What an important ministry the Holy Spirit has. And he's at work today. Part of the Holy Spirit's ministry is to lead us. I just told you a while ago what happened with me about the missionary. I keep turning them down. They're emailing. They're calling. We're little here. But when Brother Highfield called, for some reason, something happened, Brother Chase. That's all I can tell y'all. Nothing unusual from him, from anybody else, but I said, okay, we'll give you a place. So he came. God leads, folks. God leads, folks. And it's the Holy Spirit that leads us. God the Spirit. He teaches us. You said in Sunday school class this morning, if you learn any truth, the Holy Spirit had to reveal it to you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I think there's 30-something different ministries of the Holy Spirit, if I remember correctly. The Holy Spirit, another ministry, is he fills us. He'll fill us if. This is conditional. He'll fill us if we'll surrender, if we'll humble ourselves. To be filled means to be under the full control of the Holy Spirit. Now, we think about a jar sitting there, and it's half full or two-thirds full of something. That's not the way the Spirit operates. The Spirit operates by how much are you controlled by him? How much are you holding on to yourself? I'd tithe if you're controlled by the Spirit, I'm tithing. That's just a little example. You don't watch dirty stuff on TV. The Holy Spirit will fill us, or another word, control us, if we'll let him. And if he controls us, we're more like Christ. Y'all listening? Amen? The Holy Spirit will comfort us. You don't have to go to a funeral to need to be comforted. Amen? I mean, your little dog or a little cat can break your heart, and you need comfort. That's just a little simple illustration. We need comfort. I get so discouraged. I come out here to church, and nobody don't go up. I need to get comfort, brother. The Holy Spirit's that comforter. That's one of his names. Isn't that a great name? He He's our comforter. He strengthens us. I can get up here and I feel wore out, tired, no good. And I stand here a few minutes and ready. I could crop backer all day. Amen? Amen, Brother Chavis? Oh, Brother Chavis, I love you, brother. Amen. Hey, he enables us to do God's work. If you're willing to do something for the Lord, the Holy Spirit will enable you to do it. He just wants you to take it on. I got scared to death when the Lord called me to the ministry. I don't know how to do stuff like this. I've been doing it nearly 50 years. I still don't know how. But he enables to do what we do. And I knew that bachelor was going to die before I got done today. The Holy Spirit enables us. We are to allow the Holy Spirit his rightful place in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our example to follow. We're to recognize his authority, the Holy Spirit authority in our lives, and his role in our lives as we seek to live for Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And listen, and ye are not your own. You do not any longer belong to yourself. You have a new boss. You have someone to tell you what to do. Are you listening, Raymond? Raymond, are you listening? You are no longer your own. It's not, hey, it's the truth. Do you ever think about you're no longer your own? That you've been bought? You were a slave. I was a slave. Slave to sin. We were Satan's slave, but Jesus Christ paid for our redemption so that we could live and be free. And although I'm not my own, I'm still free. I'm free now so I can serve the Lord and enjoy the Lord. For ye are bought with a price. Think about what it costs to get you. Somebody had to die. Not just anybody. It was the Son of God that had to die. Just to save our stinking hide. His only Son. I'll tell you what, you just get somewhere and meditate on that. And there weren't any other way to be saved, because Jesus asked, is there any other way? And there was no other way. He had to die. That's how awful our sin is. It would take the death of the Son of God to deal with our sin. Even though we might think we're moral, good people, not in the sight of God. Not in the sight of a holy God looking down on us. It is by the Spirit that Jesus is with us. And the Father, and God the Father. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Can I grieve the Holy Spirit of God? According to the Bible. How do I grieve the Holy Spirit? Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Look at the standard for living, folks, for us, which is your reasonable service. We ought to do this because of the cost of our salvation, he said. And be not conformed to this world. Don't live by the standards of this sin-sick world. This world is going to be consumed with fire. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why you're in church today, to hear God's word, to have your mind renewed, to remind me where I'm at. I might have slipped a little bit since last Sunday. And today I'm joined back. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're to guard what we say and do, lest we bring reproach to our Savior. Let me ask you something this morning. Consider it with me. How many people that say they're Christians is at home today? Nothing really wrong. Nothing really wrong. They just, well, I deserve a day off. I mean, God understands being providentially hindered. That's one thing. Living a worldly life as a believer hurts the cause of Jesus Christ. That's the reason a lot of churches don't have many members. For the majority of Christian denominations, the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost is recognized as the third person of the Trinity. Most Christian denominations accept that. The triune Godhead manifests as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each person of the Godhead being equally God and equally eternal. Now, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and other cults do not recognize the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as a person in the masculine sense. And there's those who try to get rid of that in some churches. He is not an it. An it don't live in you. Unless you swallowed an ad, amen? He's not an it. He's a person. He's addressed in a masculine sense. The Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove when he was being baptized. In the scriptures, he's seen as emblems of fire, wind, water, seal, oil, and the dove. Those are symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are synonymous terms meaning the same persons. I've heard some people, in fact, when I first started trying to learn a little bit about the Bible, one of the first things I came across was that some would say the Holy Spirit is his action and the Holy Ghost was his name in our King James Bible. Some scholars try to designate the Holy Spirit that way, that the Holy Spirit shows his work and that the Holy Ghost shows his name. You can just think about that now as you read your Bible sometime. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon Samson, for example, just an ordinary man. And he would do great exploits with his physical strength. It wasn't really Samson. I think it's Dr. J. Vernon McGee says he believes Samson looked like Charles Atlas, the guy that had a physical physique back in the 40s and the 50s, was world famous. He was a 99-pound weakling, and he started doing lifting weights and going through all kind of calisthenics to build up his body, and he looked like a muscle man. Well, Samson, according to Dr. J. Vernon McGee, he don't think Samson looked like a muscle man at all. He probably looked like a little feller, skinny guy. Why? Because it wasn't Samson per se that did those things. It was the Holy Spirit that would come upon him. I mean, I don't care how much muscles any man has got. He couldn't tote the gates of Gaza 40 miles that weighed 4 to 6 ton. And yet Samson did that. He took the gates of the city of Gaza 40 miles. And they weighed 4 to 6 tons, we're told. It had to be the Holy Ghost, brother. Or the Holy Spirit. Amen. But it was done. And the Holy Spirit came up on others like Gideon, Jephthah, and others in the Old Testament. And when the Holy Spirit would come upon them, they could do great things for God. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit came not just to do physical exploits as great strength like Samson. Sometimes, the guy that did all the carvings and metal work for the temple and for the tabernacle, they were given special gifts by the Holy Spirit to do that work. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit came to live in all believers, in all the believers of Jesus 50 days after Jesus returned to be seated at the right hand of God. So on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus had gone back to heaven, the Holy Spirit came down. 3,000 people got saved with Peter's sermon. But when he came down to indwell all New Testament believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just say a rambling word about that. It is all of us that have been born again, and the Holy Spirit lives in since Pentecost, will make up the bride of Jesus Christ. And our home is described in Revelation chapter 21, 22. That's our home. And although we read it and we think it's fantastic, it's going to be more glorious than that. It's going to be more glorious than that. And we're going to be the bride of Christ. But we got a wonderful future. Amen. We have got an exciting future. We got a future that won't ever end. Amen. So as some country dude like Raymond Ellis would say, gets gooder and gooder. Amen? Amen, folks. In the New Testament, he came in to live in all believers. And let me say this as I pass. All believers are saved just alike. All believers are saved forever. You're not halfway saved or about saved. You're forever saved. And we all got saved just alike by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen? Now, some believers are more spiritual than others, but that don't have anything to do with whether they're saved or not. That'll have to do with how many rewards or how many lose rewards when they stand to be judged at the judgment. John 16:7-9. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. We keep meeting the truth today. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. I've got to leave, Jesus said. I got to leave. Go back to my Father. And then I'm going to ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what Jesus did. He went back and asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And he said, And if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit takes the preached word of God or the teached word of God, and the Holy Spirit begins to work at a person's heart, convicting and drawing. And that person and no other person has ever wanted to know God apart from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to bring it to the Lord. Because man, the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. And this is embarrassing, isn't it, brother? There is none that seeketh after God, not even one. If the Holy Spirit hadn't worked in my life, in your life, you'd not wanted God. You can't boast about you wanted to know God. You can't boast that because you didn't want to know God till the Holy Spirit got to working. Amen? Boy, that shuts us all out, don't it? I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers the followers of Christ with spiritual gifts and power. Galatians 6, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. How much love you got? Where's the collection plate at? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You got joy down in your soul today? Amen? Brother Searle, you got joy today, son? He's got a new hip. Amen? Hey, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We got peace with God. That's what he's talking about. I tell you what, that's the best peace in the world when you got peace with God. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Galatians 6, 22-23. That's the fruit of the Spirit. This is what's supposed to be in our life. Make sure you write this scripture down, Galatians 6, 22 and 23. Make sure you write that down because I want you to go read it later today. Later today, I want you to read that. You've heard me read it to you. But here's why I want you to read it. That's the way we're supposed to be. This is the kind of people we're supposed to be. Galatians 6, 22, 23. Huh? Well, maybe my computer made a mistake. Let me look at that. Galatians 5? Okay, Galatians 5 then. Sorry about that. That's when June recalled me. Amen? Make sure you get that, though. I want you to read that and meditate. That's the way we're supposed to be now. I tell you, I got a long way to go. The Holy Spirit, along with the preaching of God's word, brings salvation to sinners who will receive it. The Holy Spirit convicts and draws the lost to Jesus for salvation. You see what God has did for us, folks? God has made it possible that we lost sinners can be changed and made a new person and saved by His grace. Saved by grace. We don't deserve to be saved. We're the enemies of God till we get saved. Talking about the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. All this is going on. You don't see Him. You don't necessarily feel Him, although you can feel Him. Get close enough to the Lord. He's real. He's real. Real. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to His disciples after His departure, as I've already read in John 16, verses 7 through 9. Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 8 in your Bible, because Romans chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. The Holy Spirit at work in the saved person. And I want you to get this now. So then they that are in the flesh, that's the unsaved, cannot please God. That's the unsaved. We were once there. But ye are not in the flesh. Paint yourself right now. Paint yourself. You're not in the flesh. You're in the spirit. Preacher, I don't understand this. Well, you've been taken out of the flesh and you've been put in Christ. Y'all understand that? We're in Christ now. We're not in the flesh that is condemned any longer. That's the point. But you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, because we're in Christ. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, listen now, listen. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Talking about truth. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's a sinful body. It's dead to God. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We've been given the righteousness of Christ. Amen? We were given the righteousness of Christ when we were saved. God looks at us and He sees the righteousness of Christ now, folks, if you're saved. He don't see your righteousness. Your righteousness is His filthy rags. Our righteousness won't allow us into heaven. It's Christ's righteousness. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but after the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. That dwell in you, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Because when you die, the Holy Spirit knows where you're laying at. Amen. You might be going back to the dust, but the Holy Spirit's right there. Boy, ain't that awesome? That's going to be a sight to behold when suddenly the rapture takes place and the graves is full of the saints of the Lord, and it's not even you can't even find the dust that made their bodies. Suddenly the Spirit of God that's there, pew, there they'll come up in a glorified state. I'll have a Baptist fit, won't you? Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Thank God. Praise God, folks. Praise God. The Holy Spirit adds new believers to the body of Christ, which is the church, when they are saved. Every time somebody gets saved, the Holy Spirit puts them in Christ, which is the church. You can't join Christ's church. You can join a Baptist church, but you can't join Christ's church. The Holy Spirit joins you to Christ's church. And He only puts you in Christ's church if you're saved. Amen? He don't have any members in there that's not genuine members in Christ's church. They're all genuine members. Amen? Everybody understand that? Yeah. Because we're the part of the body of Christ, we will with all the New Testament believers be the bride of Christ, as already said. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all believers baptized into one body. The Holy Spirit, as I was trying to say, puts us in Christ. We don't get in on our own by joining a church. The Holy Spirit puts us in. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of these churches out there and around about, they're preaching and teaching that you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to go at the altar and pray for the baptism. Hey, listen, here's the real baptism, when the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ, when you accept Christ as your Savior. That's Spirit baptism, folks. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, we close this morning. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This is talking about the last days of the church age. And I believe we're right at the bottom of it. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who is the he? Many Bible scholars think the he there is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's holding back the Antichrist from coming on the scene. The Holy Spirit's holding back wickedness. The mystery of iniquity is at work. We see lawlessness. That's what that means. The mystery of iniquity is lawlessness. We're seeing so much lawlessness today in the world. The Holy Spirit's holding it back to just the right moment for the rapture. Just the right moment. Folks, the way it is in our country today, our country is supposed to be a country of law. But it's so lawless now. It's terrible. I believe the rapture could happen any moment. We better shape up. We better humble ourselves. We better put first things first. And what does the Lord want us to do? He left us here to help get out the gospel. Help share the gospel. Help spread the gospel. Hey, if they don't accept it, that's between them and God. Our job is to get it out. That's the reason we have a radio television ministry. Our internet. Our little LED sign out there. Trying to keep something on there that'll poke at them. You know, when they go by, it'll poke at them a little bit. You need Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, God loves you. God loves you. God wants you to spend eternity with him. Have you chose Christ? Really? You know you're really saved? If not, he'll save you if you asked him. If you admit, say, Lord, I'm that sinner. I'm a sinner and I know it. I've done wrong. I broke your laws. But I want you to forgive me. I believe Jesus died for me. I'm going to accept him as my Savior today. What about it, someone today? What about it? You won't ever find a better friend than Jesus. You won't find a better friend than Jesus. He's already paid for your sin. It's already a done deal. It's already done. And the invitation is given to you. He's invited you. He said, I want you to be with me forever. Will you accept my son? That's the only condition. As we stand together. Loving God, thank you for this time, this opportunity to once again try to preach your word, to share it with your people here. If there's someone here that's never in their heart ever bowed down before you and admitted their sin and asked Christ to be their Savior, Lord, get a hold of them. Get a hold of them, Lord. Open their blinded eye. Oh, Lord, only the Spirit of God can bring them to Christ. And I pray for his work in their hearts, in their lives. And I give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. You like to come to the altar this morning, pray for somebody that's lost, those in the salvation box. You got some special needs, concerns in your life. We'd ask you to come. If you haven't got anything to pray for, you can pray for me.